The first reading today is from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 15, and you can find this on page 896 of your church Bibles. John 10, verses 11 to 15. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The second reading today is from John chapter 10, verses 25 to 30, and that's just lower down on the same page. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The third reading today is from Psalm 100, and you can find that on page 500 of your church Bibles. Psalm 100, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Thank you so much, May, for reading that for us. Well, please do keep your Bibles open at Psalm 100, and do keep your outlines open as well. You might find it helpful to follow along in the next few minutes. Well, we're finally at the end of 2024. And as we come to this point in the year, where lots of us are maybe either looking back on the year or looking ahead to 2025, I wonder, how are you feeling at this point? Now, if I had to guess, I suspect a good number of us might be feeling tired. For lots of us, looking back on 2024, it's been a long year with work, studies, ministry, family, kids, all ending with that post-Christmas crash. And so as we come to these closing days of 2024, it really wouldn't surprise me if some of us here were feeling worn out, maybe more than a bit tired. Though for others of us, if I were to ask you, how you're feeling at this point, maybe for you, as you look ahead to the new year and some of the new and exciting things that you have lined up, perhaps for you, you're feeling quite excited, looking forward to the new year. Maybe you've landed a new job. Maybe you're starting on a new phase of life, graduating, getting married, expecting your first child, moving into your first home. Good things. Happy things, things you're eagerly anticipating, really excited about. But on the other hand, I'm sure there may be others of us still who might have those exact same things lined up for next year, new job, new phase of life. But rather than feeling excited, maybe for you, as you look ahead, the feeling that comes to mind is less excitement and more anxiety and worry about what the future holds. For all of those things. And you know what? Whether you're looking back on how the year has gone, or looking ahead to the future, tiredness, excitement, anxiousness even, I think all of those are perfectly reasonable feelings to have at this point in the year. But today, as we turn to look at Psalm 100, here I think we get another perspective on how we as God's people should feel, especially as we come to a point in the year like this, where we might be looking back on the past, but also looking ahead to the future. Now, what exactly is this perspective? Well, today in Psalm 100, the psalmist wants us to know that on top of the many things we might be feeling right now, well, today in these verses, we are reminded that we as God's people, we have great reason to be joyful and thankful. We have great reason to give thanks and to praise the Lord. We've got 2 points in your outlines today. In point one, we're going to be thinking about the psalmist's call for us to give thanks to the Lord. And in point two, we'll then think about why. Why? What reason do we have to give thanks? And so point one, where do we see this call to give thanks to the Lord? Well, let me read, starting at verse zero. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Now, when we look at the opening title of Psalm 100, the psalmist very helpfully tells us up front, what is his purpose in writing these verses? Verse 0, this is a psalm written for the purpose of giving thanks to God. Here are words written to help us respond in thankfulness to God. And to make this extra clear for us, how he wants us to respond, the psalmist, did you notice? He repeats himself all throughout these verses. And so as May was reading the passage earlier, maybe you picked up on this repeated idea that comes up again and again of joy and thankfulness, of giving thanks and praising the Lord. Verse 1 talks about making a joyful noise to the Lord. Verse 2 speaks about serving the Lord with gladness. And end of verse 2, singing in God's presence. Furthermore, in verse 4, there we also see ideas of thanksgiving, praise, giving thanks to God, blessing his name. So do you see? When we look at Psalm 100, I think it's quite clear. The psalmist wants us to know that we as God's people, we are to be filled with joy and thankfulness. We are to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Now, in point two, we're going to think about why exactly we ought to be responding in that way. But before we get to that, as I was reflecting on these verses this week, one thing I found interesting about this psalm was that as the psalmist gives thanks to God in Psalm 100, I found it quite interesting that at no point in these verses does he mention anything about his present circumstances. You see, in many of the psalms, we often get a window into what the psalmist was going through in his life, whether it's the highs of being delivered by God, or whether it's the lows of being surrounded by enemies. Situations and circumstances in life which often lead the psalmist to respond in one way or another. However, here in Psalm 100, I found it interesting that there's no mention of any of those things, which made me wonder if perhaps, maybe there is a point in that, that no matter what our present circumstances are, whether life is going well or not so well, I wonder if here we're reminded that we as God's people can always rejoice. We can always give thanks to the Lord. As I was thinking about these verses, I couldn't help but think about my late grandma. She was a Christian, someone who really loved Jesus. And one of the things that I remember about her was whenever I saw her, she would always say to me, Daniel, gam sia tu, which translates, Daniel, thank God. That was basically the constant refrain of my grandma's life. That was what she would tell me in the good times, like at the birth of yet another one of her great-grandchildren. But it was also what she would tell me, even on the really, really hard days. In those final years, when her body was slowly failing and her mind was growing dim, Daniel, gam sia tu, thank God. And friends, just to be clear, it's not that my grandma never felt sad, never cried, never found life difficult. No, trust me, there was plenty of sadness and tears in her life. However, it was always in spite of her circumstances, and it was always evident to me at least, that my grandma, she had something which many people didn't. And I think that was a clarity of perspective. One which helped her to look beyond her present circumstances and to see that God was always, always, always deserving of her thanks. And I think it's this clarity of perspective which the psalmist wants us today to have as well. And perhaps for some of us who are seated here today, maybe this is something that we really need to know. Because for some of us, maybe for you, while you might know that giving thanks to God is something we should do, maybe when it comes to how you feel, well, maybe for you, thankful and joyful are the last things you might be feeling right now. Perhaps the past few years, the past few months, or even the past few weeks, maybe these have been some of the most difficult and trying weeks or months or years of your life. I know for a fact that some of us here have been struggling with health issues or have loved ones who are really ill. I know some of you have been or are at present going through grief and loss. And others still, some of you have shared about how even the mention of next year leaves your head swimming with anxious thoughts. And so it's an important question for us to answer, isn't it? What reason is there for us to be thankful? Why should we as God's people give thanks and praise God? Well, as we look at Psalm 100, the psalmist gives us two reasons for why we as God's people can be thankful and why we as Christians can praise God. And the reasons we find them in verse 3 and in verse 5. And so why give thanks to God? Well, first reason, verse 3, we as God's people can give thanks to the Lord because the Lord is our creator. He is our shepherd. Let me read verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And so when we look at verse 3, here we get the first reason for why we as God's people can give thanks to him. And two things I want us to notice. First thing is that in the first half of verse 3, the psalmist reminds us of who the Lord is. And there he reminds us that the Lord is our creator God. He is our maker. He is the one who has given us life. And we are his creatures, those who live in his world. And because the Lord is our creator, well, on a very fundamental level, we as God's creatures, those who live in his world, well, it is right. It is right and fitting for us to give thanks to him, to praise him. However, second thing to notice is that on top of being our creator God, who rightfully deserves our praise and thanks, in the second half of verse 3, the psalmist also reminds us of another aspect of God's nature and who he is. And that the Lord, he is not just some distant creator who made us and then wants nothing to do with us. No, in the second half of verse 3, we see that the God who created the universe, this God, he reaches down to us. And incredibly, we are now those who are in relationship with this God. On the psalmist's words, we are his. Three times the psalmist tells us this. And the image which the psalmist uses to describe this relationship that we have with God, of us belonging to him, it's the image of the shepherd with his sheep. Now, in the Bible, this relationship between a shepherd and his sheep, this is a relationship that's often characterized by love and affection, protection and care. And so, do you see what the psalmist is saying here? The psalmist says, that is how the God of the universe sees you. You are one of his beloved sheep. He loves you so much. He watches over you, and he cares for you deeply. And friends, nowhere else does God demonstrate this to us more clearly than in the person of Jesus, our good shepherd, the one who we read earlier in John chapter 10, who promises us to lead us, his sheep, to eternal life, the one who lays down his life for his sheep, and who assures us that he will hold on to us to the very end. And friends, if you could just maybe take a moment with me to just look back on, let's say, maybe the past 5 years, I wonder if you've been able to see this, the shepherdly care which God has for us. And so consider, how in a world filled with so much death and hopelessness, we've seen plenty of that, haven't we, over the past 5 years, how we as God's people continue to have a hope that even death cannot destroy. The glorious hope of eternal life because of our Good Shepherd who died for us. Consider how over the past 5 years, maybe you still remember that thing called the pandemic. Remember that? Which for some of us might feel like ages ago. But friends, this is all very, very recent history. Five of the most challenging and difficult years in living memory. 5 years filled with frustration and disappointment, unrelenting pressure for so many of us here, isolation, lack of community. 5 whole years with things which, humanly speaking, if you just pause to think about it, could have led any one of us giving up on Jesus. And yet, 5 years on, here we are. By God's infinite grace, still trusting in Jesus, still holding on to Him. And maybe for you, maybe you can think of other ways as you look back on the past few years, how you've seen a God in His shepherdly care look after you, watch over you, hold on to you, despite everything that's going on in life. And friends, that is testament, isn't it? Isn't that testament to God's shepherdly care over each and every one of us here? So friends, isn't that reason for us to give thanks to God? For how God is our creator and our shepherd. But more than that, second reason, verse 5, the psalmist tells us, well, why should we give thanks to God? Why should we praise Him? Well, verse 5, because, 4, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Well, here in this last verse, we're reminded that the God who made us, the God who cares for us as our shepherd, the God who loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. Well, here the psalmist reminds us that this God will continue to steadfastly love us, to faithfully hold on to us forever. And friends, that is a wonderful, wonderful truth to be reminded of, isn't it? Especially when we come to a point in the year like this, where many of us are already thinking about what life next year is going to look like. And for those of us who maybe are seated here today and perhaps are feeling a bit worried about what next year might look like, about what the future holds, whether it's that new job, that new phase of life, a new baby that's arriving, or whatever uncertainties you might be facing, friends, isn't it such a joyous, joyous assurance that we as God's people can be confident that there are some things in life that are absolutely certain. And one big thing we can be certain of is that God will continue to steadfastly love us. He will continue to faithfully hold on to us forever. And so again, how are you feeling at this point in the year? Maybe you're tired, maybe you're excited, maybe you're anxious. But whatever you might be feeling, friends, I hope you can see that we as God's people, as those who belong to God, I hope you can see that because our God is our creator and shepherd, because our God loves us with a steadfast love which endures forever, friends, I hope you can see that as God's people, we have great reason to be thankful, great reason to give thanks and to praise God. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and give You thanks that You are our loving Creator, our Good Shepherd, whose steadfast love endures forever. Father, no matter what we might be feeling today, would You please graciously work in us to grow us in joy, to grow us in thankfulness, so that we might worship and praise You all of our days. Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your kindness in making us and continuing to shepherd us as we go through this life with steadfast love that endures forever. Thank You that You are interested in us and in ensuring we make it to the end, just like a shepherd is invested in his sheep. May we remember these truths and therefore have rightly thankful hearts. In light of this year coming to an end, we give particular thanks for 2024. In all our lives, this year will have brought times of ecstatic happiness and crushing sadness in areas of work, relationships, family, finances, spiritual growth, and many more. Thank you, Lord, that though life circumstances are often inconsistent, you have shown yourself time and again to be completely consistent, and that consistency is steadfast love enduring forever. Going forward into 2025, would we remember this so that we will still praise your goodness in bad times and not take it for granted in good times? We especially consider your steadfast love to us in your work at Euston Church this last year. Thank you that we've been able to keep meeting in the name of Jesus with such freedom, and that we've had the resources to teach your word and be a church family together several times a week. We particularly remember your provision, new staff members, trainees, and the testimonies of faith in baptisms this year. If it please you, Lord, may Euston Church be able to carry on meeting and grow in numbers and discipleship in 2025. But whatever you decide is next for us, would we praise you? Finally, we lift up to you the ongoing situation in Syria. Father God, would you raise up peacemakers in that country who are able to do the difficult task of healing hurts that are not easily forgotten? Thank you for the announcements by the new Islamist authorities that they want to protect the rights of minority groups and take steps to reconciliation with soldiers from the old regime. Only you, Lord, truly know the hearts and intentions of men. But we pray these good announcements would come through with good actions. We are reminded by the protests around public burning of a Christmas tree earlier this week that your church exists in every corner of this earth. We thank you for this and ask that your steadfast love would keep and grow the church in Syria. Pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.